Today we want to talk a little bit about getting glimpses of God's glory, and that's what God calls us to do as Christ followers, get glimpses of Him and His glory, and then let that get in our lives, shine in our hearts, and for us to shine that in the hearts of others around us. And again, if you want to change the darkness that is in the world, it is to let the light of Christ shine in your own heart and then go out and shine that in the world around you. So today we're going to learn how that practically plays out in our lives. And if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to open it up to the book of 2 Corinthians. We're going to start there with a few verses in 2 Corinthians in a few moments. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. However, I am going to go to Acts chapter 26, and I'm going to look at the testimony of the man who wrote the book of 2 Corinthians so we can understand where he is coming from. The Apostle Paul is found in the book of Acts, and we see him in the book of Acts, and then he wrote most of our New Testament, many of the letters we have in our New Testament. He wrote many of those, and he wrote 2 Corinthians, and today we're going to learn kind of what he meant in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 as we look at his testimony. Now, has any of you ever been affected by a glimpse? Think just a minute about that. I think about the glimpse that I got of my wife 31 years ago. And we were in a room, and I glimpsed across the room. And I caught her eye, and she caught mine. And can I tell you, because of that one glimpse, my life has been forever changed. I do believe that oftentimes it is a glimpse that begins to transform our life. And the Bible says that God reveals Himself. He unveils Himself. And if you study the context of all of the scripture, God basically has unveiled Himself since the beginning of time of who He is. And we've seen a lot more of who God is down through the ages. But God unveils Himself so that you and I can get glimpses of Him. And when we get glimpses of Him, He wants those glimpses to transform our life. And when those glimpses transforms our life, He invites us to transfer what we got a glimpse of into the world around us. So today I want to talk about the glimpses. And I want to know what glimpses you've been getting that affect the way you live. Because oftentimes it is what we're glimpsing at that transforms us, and that's what we transfer into the world around us. And so God is inviting you and me to get glimpses. Moses got a glimpse of who God was in the Old Testament. Moses asked God to fully show Himself to him, but God says, Moses, you can't see the fullness of who I am. Because if you really got the fullness of who I was, you couldn't handle it. You would die. And I need you to know today, nothing has changed. We will one day get the fullness of who God is when we're in glory. But right now, we're traveling through life, and there's not one person here can handle the fullness of who God is, because if God revealed it all to you at one time, it would be too heavy and you would collapse and you would die. But the reality of it is God is in the business of putting His glory, His weightiness on you as you begin to interact with it so you can handle it. And then He puts more and more of that glory on you as you go through life if you will simply let the glory that is transferred from Him, that majesty, another word for glory is heaviness, and let that get into your life, transform your life. And as you transfer it to the world, God will show you and me more and more of His glory. But the Bible says that, you know what, we have to engage with God to receive His majesty, to receive his glory. And many of us would love to see more and more of God at work in our life, but the way we do that is by gentle glimpses. And when we get the glimpses, understand that glimpse is supposed to transform you. And as it transforms you, it's to transfer from you. And as it's transferring from you, and you are beginning to understand what God's doing in your own life, then God will show you more and more of his glory. God doesn't show us all of his glory at one time. It is a process. It is a transformation. And today we're going to look at this man named Paul as he speaks about the glory of God. And as he speaks about the glory of God, we're going to learn some things about our own life that could literally change our forever, but also change the world around us. Paul's testimony is found in Acts chapter 26 in verses 12 through 19. And Paul's testimony starts with him being thrown into a prison so he could begin to share his testimony. And the king of that particular day, King Agrippa, asked Paul why he was in prison. And in Acts chapter 26, verse 6, Paul tells the king why he's in prison, and I want to share it with you. He says, "I'm on trial because of my hope." That's an awful thing to be on trial for, right? Because of your hope. But he says, "I'm on trial because of my hope in the fulfillment of God's promise made to our ancestors." In other words, Paul says, "The reason I'm here, King Agrippa, is because I've found hope, the hope that God spoke to our ancestors about. And you know what? Because I have hope in what God spoke to our ancestors," Paul being Jewish, he says, "there's some people that don't agree with the hope that I agree with, and they don't want me to continue to share this good news about the hope that God spoke to our ancestors about." And by the way, that hope is a man named Jesus. It is a Messiah. God began to speak to the Jewish people right after the first man, the first woman sinned in the garden. God says, "You know, I'm going to bring hope." And Paul had placed his hope in this Jesus. And now he's in a place where there's some leading priests that didn't agree with what Paul was saying. And they said, "He's causing an uproar, so let's get him put in prison." And then he goes on to King Agrippa and he shares with him his testimony. And it's found in Acts chapter 26, verses 12 through 19. He says, "King Agrippa, one day I was on such a mission to Damascus." What kind of mission? He was in the business of persecuting Christ followers. He was in the business of shutting down this thing about Jesus and what they were saying. He was in that business. And Paul says, "I was on a mission one day and I was on my way to Damascus to shut down these Christ followers." He says, "Armed with the authority and commission of the leading priest of that particular day." He says, "About noon, your majesty, as I was on the road, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. All of a sudden, I got a glimpse of something I never had seen before." He says, "And we all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul,'" which was his previous name, "'why are you persecuting me?'" And then the Bible goes on and says that the voice that said that told him, "It is useless for you to fight against my will." I want to stop right there, because there's some of you in here today fighting against God's will. You may not know it, and Paul didn't know it. Paul thought what he was doing was the right thing. He was a Jew of all Jews. He was educated beyond anybody else. He understood the Jewish laws and what they were all about. But he had an encounter. He got a glimpse of God from heaven. And when he got that glimpse from God, from heaven, it forever changed his life. But as he got that glimpse, what the voice said to him, "Why are you fighting against my will?" And many of us in here today, we think we're doing the right thing, but we're really fighting against the will of God. And basically what the voice is saying is you won't win. And he says, because I'm going to do something amazing in your life, and if your heart takes hold of it, I'm forever going to change your life. And if I forever change your life, guess what I'm going to do, Paul? I'm going to change the world through you. And if you take hold of what God's getting ready to say to you today, you make no mistake about it. God's going to use you and God's going to use me just like he used Paul to reflect the glory of the Lord into the world and change the world. Paul didn't have cell phones. Paul didn't have transportation like we have it today. He couldn't get on an airplane and fly across the world. Paul didn't have all of these goods that we have today. He didn't have all the communication devices we have. But what God did is touched him on an old dusty road on the way to Damascus, revealed something to him, forever changed his life. And Paul is the reason you and I are reading the New Testament today, because he wrote it down. And because he wrote it down, he began to change the world from continent to continent to continent. We call him one of the first missionaries ever sent into the world. And guess what? God used him in a mighty way. And God used you in a mighty way. If you'll receive what God says, are you fighting against the will of God? See, he says, Paul, stop fighting. You're not going to win. Surrender. And then Paul says this, he says, "Who are you, Lord?" I asked, and the Lord replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get to your feet," he says. You're getting ready to change the world. He says, "For I have appeared to you," look at this, "to appoint you as my servant and my witness. Tell the people that you have seen me. And tell them what I will show you in the future." Don't miss that. Tell them what you just saw, as you got a glimpse from heaven of who I am. But guess what, Paul? As you begin to practice what receiving these glimpses, I'm going to give you even more and more glimpses in the future. In other words, I'm not going to give you the full package yet. I'm going to drip it to you along life's journey. This is how God works, people, is if you are obedient to the glimpses you get, God unveils more and more of himself to you and works more and more powerfully through you. He says here in verse 17, and Paul, make no mistake about it, I will rescue you both from your own people, the Jewish people, and the Gentiles. I know they're persecuting you, but I'll rescue you. He says, yes, I am sending you to the Gentiles, those who are Jewish. And here's the reason I'm sending you to the Gentiles. He says, to open their eyes so that they may can turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness of their sins and be given a place among God's people also, who are all set apart by faith in me. And then he finishes here. He says, and so King Agrippa, the reason I'm here is I obeyed the vision from heaven. The king asked Paul, you know what? There's really nothing earthly for you to be here, but why are you here? And Paul says, because I obeyed the vision from heaven. Paul is in a place in his life because he simply got a glimpse of heaven. And because he got a glimpse of heaven, he begins to execute what God said in the world around him. And it become offensive to some people. But Paul still followed through with what God said. It even got him thrown into prison. In other words, it got him persecuted. But Paul kept on moving. He kept on sharing because he had a hope beyond his circumstance and situation. He had been put in prison, but he says, the whole reason I'm here is I have a hope. And the reason I have a hope is because I got a glimpse from heaven of who Jesus is. And that glimpse of heaven from who Jesus is has forever changed my life. And because it has forever changed my life, I'm on mission with God now, not on mission against God. And because I'm on mission with God now, it is beginning to drip into my life. And as it begins to drip into my life, I'm receiving more and more of God's glory, of his weightiness, of who he is, and it's becoming bigger and bigger in my life, and it's working more and more through my life. Come on, church. Carrying the glory of the Lord is heavy business. And your reality of it is this. When we're carrying the glory of the Lord, God will give you the strength to carry the amount of glory that is necessary if you are leveraging that glory and using that glory for what it's designed for. And God never intends for you to see his glory and stalemate his glory. His glory shines in your heart to work in your life, to transform your life, to transfer out of your life into the world around you and bring the light of Christ into a dark world and change the world. Come on, you're a world changer. We're world changers. And so again, if this is the case, what does it look like? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul begins to write about it. And this is how he says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. And I want to show it to you. He says, "For the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Freedom from what? Freedom from bondage. Freedom from having to give your life over to sin. Freedom to not have the shackles of who you thought you were around your ankles and your wrist, but it's the freedom to begin to not be held back by your past. The Bible says, for wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom from guilt. There is freedom from shame. There is freedom to live. There's freedom to move. There's freedom to not hide anymore. There is freedom in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. There is freedom from envy. There is freedom from jealousy. There is freedom from pride. There is freedom from all of these things that hold us back from the glory of the Lord shining in our heart and shining through our life. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the living God is at work, there is freedom. What does that mean? That simply means you are free to receive from God and you are free to give from God, but you must come to God and let God deposit that freedom in your life. Come on. Freedom. Freedom. Paul says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And so what a lot of people say, well, I want freedom. I want to do whatever I want to do. You're missing it. There's freedom from that. There's freedom to stop doing what you want to do and start doing what God has made you to do. There's freedom from your own thinking. There's freedom from doing things your own way. Remember, Paul thought he was doing things right, but really he was fighting against God instead of letting God transform him so he could work with God and change the world. And so again, you know, a lot of people say, I want freedom. And what they really are saying is, I want to be free to just do whatever I think I want to do. And that's not freedom. Freedom is being all that God made you to be and walking in the fullness of it. And Paul says you can experience this freedom if you begin to let the glory of the Lord shine in you and shine through you. So how do people find this freedom? How do they find it? Well, find it. Paul goes on to tell us how to find that freedom in 2 Corinthians, the very next verse, 3:18. He says, all of us who have had that veil removed, we can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us what? More and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Let me read that again. He tells us exactly how to experience that freedom. He says you experience that freedom by having a veil removed. And so your question should be, well, I want to experience that freedom, so what is the veil? And he says you can experience that freedom when you have the veil removed. He says, and once it's removed, he says, you can see and you can reflect the glory of the Lord, the heaviness of God, the weightiness of God, the majesty of God. He says you have the ability to see more and more of who God is and reflect more and more of who God is. He says, but the only way you will ever be able to see and reflect is to what? Have a veil removed. And he doesn't just say you got to have the veil removed. He's going to tell us how to have the veil removed. He tells us that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 14 through 16 in the above verses. He says this veil can be removed only by what? Believing in Christ. So what he says is Christ Jesus can remove a veil so you can see and reflect. He says, yes, even today, when the people of the old read Moses' writing, their hearts are covered with that veil and they do not understand. He says, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So what does all that mean? It simply means this. The only way to have that veil removed is you to trust Christ and who he is. And again, the Bible tells us who Christ is. It's full of information. And the Bible says that this veil gets removed. What veil did Christ come to remove? It's the thing that holds us in darkness, that holds us hostage and keeps us from coming into the presence of the living God. And it's this thing called sin. It literally means missing the mark. And what Paul states in this passage, there's people who had the law of God to remind them that they were sinful and they needed a Savior. And throughout Scripture, God had been revealing who this Savior is. He gave them the law of God, but the law of God can't remove the veil. But the one who can remove the veil, remove the sin from your life so you can see and so you can reflect, he has come and he is Christ Jesus. And Paul says, I've got a glimpse. I've got a glimpse into heaven because I've believed on the name of Jesus Christ. He has removed the veil and all of a sudden, all the scales have fallen off of my eyes and I can see, I can see, I can see, I can see the glory of God. And as I see the glory of God, I was following the law, but I was wrong. I was missing it. I was missing it. Now I've believed in Christ Jesus and I see the glory. And it's more and more that glory comes into my life. It gives me the ability to reflect it out into the world and change the world around me. It's, you can see when you trust Christ. Literally what it means is that you have to believe that this Christ, this Messiah, this anointed one, he came to take away the sin of the world. Not to just forgive you of your sins, but he came to take away, lift the veil, the sin of the world, so humanity could begin to believe in him and see the heart of their creator. And the question is, do you really believe that Christ came to pay the penalty of sin? Because it's why he came. The penalty of sin is death. Paul came, or Jesus came, to forgive us of our sin, but also to lift the veil so that we could begin to see the heart of our Creator. It's why I like to say here at Valorous Church, it's one thing for you to believe in Jesus and know who God is. It's another thing for you to begin to understand who he says you are. And the only way, my friend, that you're ever going to discover who he says you are is first trust Christ, believe in Christ, and then you can come in to the throne room of God. You can come into the presence of the living God, the presence of your Creator, and he will begin to download his glory into your life and tell you who you are. So we have to begin to see who God says we are by letting Christ lift the veil. So here's the question for every single one of us in this room. Have I truly trusted Christ for the forgiveness of my sin? Or am I trying to press in and do it myself? And my friends, if you're trying to press in and do it yourself, understand this, you're fighting against the will of God. God says, I don't want you to pay for your sin. I came to do that on a cross, receive the gift of salvation, and move on with your life. See, God comes and forgives us so that we can come into his presence, but also so we can stretch out and begin to reflect who he is to the world around us. That's why we called it Stretch Month, because it's not just about you going in and receiving from God. Don't miss this. It's about you pouring out who God is telling you are to the world around you. Because he says in this passage, the only way to have the veil removed is to trust Christ. But he also says that, you know what, the way we begin to understand the glory of the Lord more and more is basically to seek God. Are you seeking God? Because this is what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. He says, all of us who have had the veil removed, now that we've trusted Christ, he says, we can see. He didn't say you're gonna see. He says you can see. He didn't say you were going to see. He says you have the ability to see. But also he says, and we can reflect the glory of the Lord. So what does that mean? That means if I'm gonna see the glory of the Lord, I have to enter into his presence and begin to get a download of who he is, get glimpses of who he is. So how do I practically get glimpses of who God is? I trust Christ, but then I begin to engage with God, with his word. Everybody heard the word the Bible? That's God's word. In other words, it's God's word and it's spoken to men. They penned it down over ages. But what does that word do? That word reveals. Everybody say reveal. It reveals the glory of the Lord, and then the Holy Spirit that now lives in you, that Holy Spirit gives you the ability to seek God, and he unveils himself through his word over and over and over and over again, and you begin to see more and more and more of his glory, and that means you get on with your life being who he has designed you to be. We have to seek God. So are you seeking God through his word? I'm not talking about just doing a quick devotional. Praise God, I got it in today. Praise the Lord. Are you truly seeking God's glory? God, show me your glory. God, show me who you are as I look in this mirror, in this word to see who I am. Show me your glory. See, that's seeking God. Another way we seek God is through prayer. Again, it's how we talk to God. And again, it's going to our Heavenly Father. My friend, you have access into the throne room of God, into His very presence, because you've trusted Christ Jesus. And God hears your prayers. God hears your prayers at work. God hears your prayers on the beach. God hears your prayers in your bedroom. God hears your prayers in the backseat of your car. God hears your prayers in this room. But are you accessing the throne room of God, or are you waiting on a certain day of the week to come pray some religious activity? Are you seeking God through prayer on a daily basis and asking God for His wisdom and His glory and getting a download of it in your life? He will show you His glory if you ask for it. Come on. You want to change the world? Seek God. Let Christ change you. You seek God's glory through reading His word, through prayer, and being involved in God's business. And God will reveal more and more and more of who He is to you. Remember, He says you can see. He didn't say you were going to see. The Bible says seek God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when you do, He begins to reveal His amazing glory, His majesty into your life, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what happened, no matter what they said. He begins to reveal His glory. But keep in mind, He doesn't only say, seek me and see my glory. This is really important. This is where the activity happens. He says, I want you to what? Reflect my glory. He says it again in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. He says, when we reflect His glory, we do this by what? By engaging with people. He found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. He says, all of us who have had the veil removed, trusted Christ. Now we can see the glory of the Lord. But not only see the glory of the Lord, now we can also reflect the glory of the Lord, change the world. And see, Paul got this. He got what the glory of the Lord was. It's the majesty of God. He got that, you know what? God doesn't unveil it all at one time. As a matter of fact, in one place of the Bible, he says this. He says, I only see partially now, but later on, when I come face to face with God in eternity, I will be able to see fully. So Paul understood that, you know what? I am only getting glimpses of God, but those glimpses can build upon glimpses. His glory can build upon its glory. And if I'll learn to build upon the glimpses, God will begin to reveal more and more of His glory to me to change me into His image so that I can be an image bearer in this world and reflect the goodness of God. It's a beautiful thing to be on mission with God. But some of us are fighting against the will of God for our life. We want the glory of the Lord, but we forget that God calls us on mission to reflect the glory of the Lord. And God will reveal. He reveals more and more and more and more of His glory into our life to transform our life so that we can transfer it. So transfer it into the world around us, come on, and change the world. But we have to seek so that we can show, so that we can reflect. And again, it's a picture. It's like, you know what? I'm like a mirror. And I can let God shine into my life as I get before Him and receive His glory. But God, as I receive Your glory, I realize that You created us to be image bearers and not only see Your glory, but reflect Your glory and change the world. God, you first put the first man on the planet to be image bearers. You You created them in your likeness, but they failed at it. They got off target, but you sent a Savior, a Messiah, to take the veil away so I could see your glory again. And God, I want to seek your face. I want to seek your glory. I need more and more your glory, God, so I can be a better image bearer and change the world. I want to change my street. I want to change my family. I want to change my neighborhood. I want to change my country. God, I want to change the world. And the only way I'm going to change the world is to get your glory. Get your glory and reflect that glory like a mirror. Come on. It's a beautiful thing. This is why I'm calling it Stretch Month. God wants us to receive, receive, receive. But God wants an overflowing amount of his glory in people's heart and life. He wants to shine the light of Christ in your heart, in my heart, so we shine it in a world. So that, you know what? The light goes into the darkness. We change the world by letting Christ illuminate our own lives and then begin to reflect it to the world around us. We don't become part of the world, but we live in the world. There's multiple ways to say it. And guess what? I just want to be honest with you. It's hard work. It's difficult to get up every day and live for the cause of Christ. To reflect the glory into the world. It's not easy. And every time I fail at it, I have to repent and say, God, you know what? I screwed up today, but I trust who you say I am. I trust what Christ did on that cross. I know I am fully forgiven. I am fully yours. And I'll get back up tomorrow and I'll do it again. And again, it's not just being happy all the time. As a matter of fact, the writer who wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul, he was being persecuted for his very faith. And he says, you know what this glory does? Go on and read 2 Corinthians chapter 4 later. But he says, this glory teaches me to tell the truth in all circumstances. He says, this glory helps me persevere through the difficult times and moments. He says, this glory, he says, I don't need a title for this glory, because they were fussing about him. He didn't have a title. He says, I don't need a title for this glory. He says, I just need God's glory to shine in my heart. And he says, what he's shining in my heart as I'm reflecting it to you, he says, you are a letter of God's glory is shining in my life. In other words, he's saying, you're a testimony that God is working in my life and working through my life. And the beautiful thing is Paul had some difficult things come against him, what they said, what people said, all of these things we deal with today. There was a lot of darkness, a lot of hate, a lot of envy, a lot of strife in their world. But Paul says, this glory gives me the ability to endure all things and finish the race. We quit because somebody says we don't like our hair. Or you know, we got something else a little bit more important to do today. God's like, oh no, shine my glory in the world. And if you want to know, will there ever be rest? Well, I want to read to you what it says in Revelation chapter 22, verses 3-5. Because John got a glimpse of God's glory in its fullest expression. And he wrote it down. It's called the book of Revelation. And this is what he wrote at the end of the book, Revelation chapter 22, verses 3-5. He says, no longer will there be a curse upon anything. Hallelujah. He says, for the throne of God and the Lamb of God will be there, and his servants will worship him. He says, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. And there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun. For the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign with him forever and ever. That's a picture, my friend, that you know what? We have to work in his glory in this day and age, but one day we'll rest fully in his glory. And Paul said, I got hope. I got hope in a glorious God. Paul says, I can keep on keeping on because I know a glorious God. I have a glorious hope. Paul says, I can keep pressing in even when it gets difficult because I have a glorious hope of rest. I can keep on moving whenever somebody else says stop moving because I have a glorious hope in heaven. God says this glorious hope will be the rest, come on, that we're all looking for in our life, and it will forever change our life. We'll be there with him, face to face. This is why I like to celebrate who Jesus is. Because no matter how tough it gets, no matter how dark it seems, the light of Christ shines into the hearts of men so they can reflect the glory of the Lord and the eternal plan he has for humanity in forever and ever. And that should excite you. No matter what life circumstances bring. So today, we're gonna give you the opportunity to respond to God's amazing glory. In a moment, we're gonna sing a song. We're gonna have what we refer to as an altar moment. The altar will be open for you to come forward and pray and seek God if that's what you need to do. The crosses will be open with some of our prayer ministers standing beside them. Maybe you need the veil lifted from your life today and you need to repent of your sin and trust Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Maybe you need to do that today. The prayer partners would love to walk you through a prayer at our lighted crosses on each side. There'll be people down here just to gather around you, pray for healing, pray for any area of your life that needs to be prayed for. And I promise you this, as you begin to really seek God, God shows up and does powerful things. God shows up every single weekend in the church service because we speak his word and we believe in the transforming power of who he is. I invite you today, if you don't have an emergency and have to get out of here in such a hurry today, to sit around and wait. Maybe God's going to do something miraculous. We're going to sing a song together about who the Lord Jesus is, and what he's going to eventually do is give us amazing, amazing rest. But we invite you today to let's worship God. Come forward for prayer. Come to the crosses for prayer. Whatever you need, there'll be prayer ministers here for you. Maybe you just want to kneel at the cross today by yourself, or kneel at the kneeling altar today by yourself and just pray. That is perfectly fine, whatever God does in your heart today. But I do believe that God wants to do amazing things in the hearts of men and women in this room today. So let's see what God wants today. And when we leave here, let's get invite cards and stretch out the glory to change the world. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you so much for every man, woman, boy, and girl. And God, as we come today to this place, God, may we celebrate who you are, Jesus, that you are the light in a dark world. You are the one that can transform our life. You came to forgive humanity of sin on that cross, and whoever believes in you and trusts you will have eternal life. Jesus, thank you for giving your life on that cross. Jesus, we know you're going to return again. You're going to come again. Spirit, would you begin to speak to us today? Would you begin to change us today? Would you begin to transform us today so we can transfer your glory into the world? God, we want more and more of your glory. We want you to shine your face upon us. We know we only see partly now, but we will then see you face to face, Jesus, and we will see fully. God, I pray every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl not kick against your will, but receive your will and become a shining light of your glory in this world today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. We all stand and we all worship together. Amen.